The following program is a podcast1.com production.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
Well, I'd like to hear about it, pothead.
Look at the game change.
If you want to battle, it's either that you will or
you
won't.
Hey, you know, you're not a bad looking man, Mr. Gals.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
No, I thought you said that you are right, Spider.
Hey, man!
Big ass trout.
A trout? They're hard to catch. I said that like Norm MacDonald. The trout, hey, you know that Dolly Varden trout? Hey, who is Dolly Varden that they named the trout? I don't know if I'd want a trout named that. Maybe a shark, you know. Roger Clinton is the guest on more stories. You may remember him as the first lady to Alexander Graham Bell in Menlo Park with Thomas Edison. My man, first of all, it's too surreal that we're sitting here talking to each other.
Yeah.
You're like a calmer Tom Arnold, handsomer. You're
Thank
a handsome
you.
Guy.
Thank you.
But people think, like, if you're a presidential brother, like from Billy Carter, and like, they just assume, A, they assume you're a train wreck, and they give you a chance to prove it, which you did well.
Yes.
But
Thank
you've
you.
Made your, you know, you don't ever hide it. You were all... We're all flawed. I've made the exact same mistakes you have. And then they also assume, like, you look like some, like, sloth from Goonies. So do people meet you and go, I had no idea? Because you're fun. Like, we've been here 10 minutes just laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
What do people – what's the first thing somebody says they misread about you when they meet you in person?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. They asked me one time disc jockey, is that too old school?
No.
But a disc jockey asked me one time, aren't you afraid? Aren't you worried? Aren't you concerned about someone kidnapping you or somebody messing with you or something like that? And then they said, you know something? No, no. You're just a good guy. Before the end of the interview or whatever, you'll be smoking cigars and drinking wine with them. I just try to be a good person. So that's the way Mother, God rest her soul. She's been gone 23 years, and she instilled that in me to be a good person, to be a funny person, to be a communicator, and to enjoy life. And that's what I've done. And I have certainly made mistakes along the way.
You don't hide from them. And when you brought up your mom, I immediately was brought back to Hope, Arkansas, and the whole because. Bill came out of nowhere. Like, it was just, who the fuck's this guy? Like, what happened? Like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, and this guy's, you know, when there's like 20 candidates running, there's the Green Party, there's the guy from, you know, Green Leaf, there's the pot guy, there's this crazy guy. And all of a sudden, Bill Clinton is just sort of leading a little more. And it was that one speech, Hope, Arkansas, and it was about your mom.
Yeah.
And it resonated, man, because yeah. You knew for the first time that it was truthful. You knew what he meant to her. You just let me know what she meant to you.
Yeah.
And that resonates with people. And it's hard as a politician. I was watching this, and I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I wouldn't legitimize either party with my affiliation.
And I'm not either.
It's like reading the horoscope, and like, there's 12 houses of the zodiac. How many times is your horoscope been right? 1 in 10? So like, 2 parties is going to get you right? Forget it. But I was watching a Mitt Romney documentary, and his kid's concern when he was running, when all the cameras are in the house, and I know when they know they're on camera or not. This was real verite. They caught this shit. People aren't going to believe Dad's as good as he is, his great a man as he is. And yeah. It was a genuine concern. And I went, oh, wow, I didn't know Mitt was like that. I just know the thing with the speech and the hidden camera. He's a Mormon. He's kooky. He looks handsome. He's fucking hot, by the way.
Oof. No, he is hot.
Don't leave me alone with that guy. So how
Let's
hard is it?
Let's call him right now.
If you got his number, we should. How hard is it to be in a political family and not be the politician and just see stuff being said about your family to tune that out, especially when somebody as beautiful as your mom?
Well, I made up my mind and just like I said on my appearance with Vince Vaughn on the movie Fred Klotz. That
well done, by the way.
Thank you. When I did that, and I got up, and they let me ad-lib all that. That wasn't scripted. And I said, you know, I could have brought the ship down. But for the sake of my family and for the love of my family name and the love of my mother, because we didn't have a father growing up. So my brother was like my brother, my best friend, my father, everything growing up. And people don't understand how wonderful of a human being he is. He's exceptional. He really is exceptional. He's got a hell of a sense of humor. He loves sports. He can cuss like a sailor. And he's just a great guy to be around. When you're just outside of the political circle, he's a great guy to be around, like at holidays and stuff like that.
Your face right now, you've changed. There's a tear in your eye. You're smiling like the like I'm getting choked up. I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for anybody that year. But I'm saying these are real people. And it's almost like you have to be an ex-president long enough before you can gauge the value of the man. Like people look at Jimmy Carter, Habitats for Humanity, and they go, holy shit, this man is a Christian.
Yeah.
Like that's all he does.
Yeah.
And then they see your dad, your older brother, who was a dad to you,
yeah.
And he protected you from the onslaughts that older brothers and my older sisters did for me. He's a very good ex-president. Now, to the listener, they're going, well, what do I give a shit if you're a good ex-president? You should always care. I'm asking if you agree with this and to expound. You should really care if somebody's a great ex. Lyndon Johnson
Absolutely.
Went to a ranch, ate steak, smoked cigarettes, his fucking heart exploded at the end. He was like, fuck it. He used to take shits in the White House during meetings. He didn't care. Not a knock on the guy. Harry Truman fed the parking meters in Independence, Missouri. Had no detail. That's the man. Once you're out, that's how you see who the guy is.
Yeah.
Without the neckties getting after it. So what can we learn as a society when we look Republican, Democrat, when we look at ex-presidents and how they go about their business? Is that the actual person, or is it still a little bit of a show?
No, I think it's more of the actual person when they're the ex. I've had the honor of meeting – I wanted the honor of meeting President Reagan. I performed at his library. My band performed at his library. I didn't get the opportunity because Nancy said that he was in a condition that wouldn't allow it at that time. So I was disappointed about that. But I have met Father Bush, Son Bush. They're both wonderful people.
Never heard a bad word about the guys once they left. Once
my
they
gosh.
Left, never heard a bad
Let
word about
something.
W since he's been gone.
No, no.
I think
you know,
the current guy maybe helps, puts a little more sheen on everybody.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Andrew Jackson wasn't so bad, right?
Yeah. But I think being an ex-president is just like you said, Jay, I think it's very, very important. And I think it comes so much more natural to these people to get back to the way they were before they became president.
Yeah.
I know that sounds a little crazy.
No, it doesn't, because as president, it's a life of concession. Every day you have to concede a piece of yourself to appease somebody for the greater good down the line.
Yeah.
Like Gavin Newsom, Lieutenant Governor of California, when he was mayor of San Francisco, he's a Catholic, doesn't believe in gay marriage, doesn't believe in abortion, but the people that voted for him do. So he pushed passionately and he married gay guys. It's against his personal constitution, but the constituents voted for him. That's why he's on my radar. I dug him. And just fought for women's rights and fought for, stuff like that. So you make a concession every day, like, I got to cave in on this thing that's close to me because a year from now it's going to open up 14 things that are close to me.
Yeah.
And that's where the second term is when you really make hay because you don't give a fuck.
Yeah. And I'm hoping, I really am hoping, because I don't like extreme right. I don't like extreme left. I would give anything if we could be that, for instance, the picture at the ball field after the shooting. Now, let's eliminate the fact of why it happened because of the shooting. They would have never gotten together like that in a big picture if there wouldn't have been a tragedy. But
hold on. And I want to put a pin in that. It's very interesting. That's news to me because I don't know the men. They're from different states. I have no idea what their conscience is. me and my friend, me and you. I've known you 30 minutes. I know for a fact me, you, and Pete Turner and Walter absolutely would have gotten down and prayed.
Absolutely.
Like, I just met these guys.
Absolutely.
I met you, him I know. But, like, I didn't know that they would never have done that.
I want that picture. I want to enlarge that picture, put a huge picture of that on my wall at my home, just because that's the way we should be as Americans. We should be like that, not just in the face of a tragedy. We should be like that every day. And I don't understand. I can't comprehend why we can't do that or are unable to do that. I don't understand it. And it really frustrates me. And I think maybe there's so much frustration with Americans because of that, rather than frustrated because of what the Democrats say or what the Republicans say. I think more people are really frustrated because we have so much conflict. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work.
I disagree with you. I think nobody cares.
Really?
If they're thinking outside that R or that D, it's an automatic tune out.
Yeah, but why do you think that, though?
Because it's a tribe, and you want to be inside the tent pissing out, and if anybody's going to you know, it's like me and Pete did a podcast about liminal space, liminal time, and shared realities. We get pretty trippy. And it's like, for me to accept your beliefs, a part of my beliefs have to kind of bend in a little, and my reality gets smaller. The bubble I live in, democracy, you know, socialism on paper works and it's fair unless you're rich. Then it's why am I fucking giving my money and sharing it so we can all have the same amount of money? But it'll never work because it's not on paper. Human beings are involved and you can't measure somebody's hunger, evil, their sadness, their, you know, their cheaty, you know,
I like that.
Cheating. So that's why it never really works when implemented. But on paper in a poor country like maybe Cuba where there was a revolution, one guy, Che Guevara, he's on T-shirts. He's a hero. Fidel Castro and him were like, that was the duo. One's a villain, one's a hero. Exact same ideology. And I think if you could remove the R, this is just my opinion, but I know I'm right. Next election cycle, you're not allowed to show the R or the D when the people are on TV talking.
See, you know, now we're getting down to what really determines the outcome of an election.
Oh, and you lived this twice.
Yes.
Did you vote for Hillary?
Yes.
Sorry to hear that. I didn't vote for either because I actually wrote my name in.
Well, the reason why, I mean, certainly was because it was Hillary, and I know how brilliant she is. I didn't know, as no one knew, whether she could be a great president or not. Had no clue. But I do know her brilliance, and I do know her passion to help America, whether she's right or wrong in her approaches. I do know what's in her heart.
My only problem with Hillary is not just handing over every computer and email and Etch-a-Sketch viewfinder and just going, it's your sister-in-law. I used to say this on stage, like, here's every computer. Here's hers from Stanford. There might be pictures of my pussy. Go fuck yourselves. Like, just hand everything over because it cost her.
Yeah.
Because we thought she was withholding. And if she was a guy with those credentials, she would have won 2 years ago. Like, she's maybe, I'm going to say, the most qualified candidate there's ever been.
Eight years
sleeping in a bed with the pillow talk that can never be used in court against the guy about what's really happening in the world. Secretary of State, senator in a state that I don't know. I don't remember that Hillary Clinton condo in Albany, New York. I don't know how you become a senator. I don't know the rules. So you're a senator. You're a secretary of state. You set the record for flying. Saudis had to get up and kiss her. Like, they had to kiss her ass. She's a woman. She comes in a skirt like, how you doing?
Yeah, I don't think she ever took the bull by the horns, which I think she should have because she knew that there were things going wrong. But a lot of times, you're only as good as the people you hire. And you only fail sometimes by the people you hire if you go by what they say and rely on everything that they have told you and that they suggest. And I think that she listened a little bit too much, without mentioning any names. I think she listened too much and relied too much on the upper echelon of her staff rather than just saying no this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Because she had finally started to get likable, a lot more likable than she ever has been. Because that's been one of her down spots.
I met her on The Tonight Show. I'm going to get back to what you said about what determines an election. I find that fascinating. I want to hear your take on it.
Okay.
And when I met her at The Tonight Show, she shook my hand with uber presence, looked me right in the eye. And I know this is a politician thing. I learned, you know, John McCain, Mitt Romney, guys that I've shook their hands, looked them in the eye at dinners or events or whatever. You're the only person alive when she talks to you. She looks right at you. How are you? Where are you from? New Jersey. What part? Verona? Essex County? Yeah, actually it is. And she asked me some regionally, so is Verona Lake, do they still do paddle boat? I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah.
That she knows this much about this little town in New Jersey with 4,000 people.
She and Big Brother are insane, quote unquote, like that.
Yeah.
They will make you think you're the only person in the room.
Tom Cruise is like that. Like, that's a star. And you have to be a star to go run and win, I suppose.
Yeah.
So what determines?
Well, you know, it's not a golf match. You know, I'm still a little aggravated, even though I'm glad not to be in that proverbial fishbowl or under that proverbial microscope. I'm really glad about that. But in my heart, I still think, well, I mean, it's being proven every day that she couldn't be worse than what we have. Okay?
Yeah.
She just couldn't be. I mean, if
there's people yelling into their earbuds right now. They're talking about child molestation rings,
yeah,
satanic cults. Like, the narrative about anybody, like, has gotten, it's just, we're being gaslit. When the guy putting out the fake news says this is fake news, when it's, no, we're talking about fucking Russia.
Yeah.
And maybe or maybe not. That's fucking news, and we got to.
It is news.
A so-called judge. There's the judicial branch you take out. When you say that the CIA and the FBI, they don't know intelligence. When the I stands for fucking intelligence,
and the FBI director is a nut job,
and
okay?
He's a showboat, a guy with a geranium on his head.
Say that.
That's the definition of gaslighting people. So that when the real news comes in, they go, "Hey, what? Yeah, but what about her emails?" It's like, she's not fucking here. Like, I don't know what you... Like, it's impossible for anybody to have a talk politically without mentioning the other person's rep. You can't say, Donald Trump did this. They'll go, yeah, but he'll... Under Obama, like, he's not fucking here right now.
Right. Let him go.
Yeah.
Please let him go.
What is the thing that decides... You go, this is what really determines elections. That's what you said, and I interrupted you a while ago. Like, what really determines it?
Well, I think what determines an election is when you relate to the people and when you make them know that you are not going. And believe me, there's certain things. I hate to say this, but it's the truth. There are certain things that I do believe what Trump said during his campaign. However, he's completely going against 90% of everything he campaigned on. Now, I'm a musician. I'm an entertainer, so I grew up with the philosophy of doing or saying what you need to do or say to get where you need to get to, and then it's up to you to stay there.
Right.
Okay?
And that's not unique to politics. It's certainly presidential politics.
It's certainly not.
Read my lips, no new taxes.
It's certainly not.
Yeah.
It's certainly not. But I am pulling for some of the things he says, like media. Sometimes I know that they can be very slanted. And very,
they are no. Let's get this straight.
Yeah, it's slanted to the left. There's no doubt.
Right, but there's no left only channel.
No, there's not.
Fox,
you're right.
Is
Fox.
The largest conglomerate.
Fox,
and you're not going to get a single left. They had one, Alan Colmes. They had a guy, and they just like took shits in his mouth, like runny flu dumps on his body, like a scat movie from fucking Japan.
Pete,
like,
you told me that I could talk like this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, everybody tells me about the liberal media, but the only time I hear about the liberal media is when I'm watching right-wing media. Like, I understand, like, the New York Times is slanted. I understand that.
Yeah.
It's New York.
Yeah.
And I understand.
Washington Post slanted.
Yeah. But, I mean, Wall Street Journal is, like, so.
Right.
Does it shake out? Is it even? Or is it actually slanted to the left?
You know, I...
Because of the Jews. My joke, you don't say anything. Don't say anything.
I think it is even. I think it is even because if you look at all the AM radio shows, it is all right. It is almost all right.
Right.
Okay, so it just depends on who you're listening to, who you want to tune into, who you want to refer to. But I think the people... I think we lose a lot of great – thank you. I think we lose a lot of great candidates, potential leaders, or leaders, but potentially leaders in office because they're not Democrats or Republicans. And that's just a fact.
And they're not millionaires.
They're not millionaires.
You have to be a multi-millionaire
absolutely.
To launch that.
And it's a shame.
And you ask other people – it's like building a ballpark, right? You're the billionaire, and you want me to give you fucking money to build a place for the Chargers to play.
Right.
My response is, here's 5 cents, and the second envelope is my other response. Go fuck yourself. You're a billionaire. Why are you asking? Why are you renting? Like, that's the first sign of being an adult. You meet a girl in the club. She's like, do you own or rent? You're like, own. Let's go home.
Yeah.
Simply Safe, my friends. The White House, had they had Simply Safe, nobody ever would have gotten past that fence. Ever at any time. Elvis would not have walked up and knocked on the door like he was trick-or-treating with a loaded 35 to give to President Nixon.
We have so one of many people all-time... that could just get into the White House
I
now.
I snuck into the White House when your dad... why do I keep calling your dad? When your what's his name now? Your niece. When William Jefferson
Chelsea.
Clinton was president, I actually snuck into the White House with
four friends.
I bullshitted my way. It's your...
See, isn't that crazy how that can happen?
It was a little scary because, one, if I didn't just keep doubling down, I'm leaving in handcuffs. So I just kept going and kept – and I was just indignant at every – you know, guys with M16s are going, so who's your contact? And I made up a name from high school. I go, Claire Testa. So I just pulled a random name, and the guy points to the phone, that little anteroom between the sidewalk and his, like, bulletproof guard gate with four other guys with M16s. Yeah. And I pick up the phone, White House operator, may I help you? I don't know if I ever told this on the podcast, Petey. It's me and my friend Billy Hayes, who's used to paint houses, maybe, they say, for the Westies. Used to – things got a little messy. There was some cleanup involved when Billy was around. La machine. My friend John Priest and my friend David, we went to the park to see if we could see which homeless people were Secret Service. So we're like, it's got to be the shoes. They got to have different shoes. And I was, by the way, really fucking stoned. So then we get up to the gate. And I'm like, I have an appointment. They go, with who? I go, Chelsea Clinton. I'm her favorite actor. And I just named everything on my resume. Like, I mean, why? I don't know why I'm not in already. This is crazy. And the guy buzzes me in for the phone. Claire Testa, White House operator. Claire Testa, please. Please hold. It's not the same one. But hello. Hi. Claire Testa, how may I help you? I'm like, oh, my God. I go, Claire, it's JJ from Verona High School. She goes, excuse me? I go, I'm here to see Chelsea. Ed Norton, Chelsea Clinton, I'm here. She goes, this is accounts receiving. I'm in Silver Springs, Maryland. I'm not, so you have the wrong extension. I'm like, no, I don't. She hangs up on me. The M16s are getting closer, and I realize the mood's changed considerably. And this is how you make the news. And then at that moment, a girl about 28 years old was bringing a tour of kids back from the West Wing to walk past me and out. She goes, oh, my God, no. It was the biggest Jay Moore fan ever. She goes, are you trying to get in? I go, I have an appointment with Chelsea. She goes, stop. Are you trying to get in? I can help you. I go, yes. And she goes, has he met Chelsea yet? To the guards.
Right.
And then she makes like 3 calls. Then me and these mooks got to go through security, and they go, we need to go through the metal detector, need your driver's license. Billy Hayes goes, I'm not giving you my fucking driver's license, bro. And he goes, well, then you can't get in. He goes, fine. I'm like, Billy, just, he goes, no, fuck him. Like, the guy's a fucking army man. And Billy's going, I'm not giving you my fucking driver's license. No, fuck you. It's tense. And the guy goes, you were in Beirut. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, la machine. Go on, man.
Oh, my God.
Like the
So y'all just got in.
Just got in. We're walking around completely it's pre-9/11, obviously. We're completely unsupervised. Chelsea's there, and I make a beeline to, like, I was supposed to do an interview with you because I'm your favorite actor. Like, that's how far gone I am into this story.
Right.
And then I eventually say, can I sit in your dad's chair in the cabinet room? Because of presidential history I'm obsessed with. Like, the bulb above it is brighter because Nixon wanted to look more presidential in photographs. brilliant. And it's like agriculture and Secretary of Interior. She goes, yeah, go ahead. I go, I just want to be really clear. I'm asking you if I'm a pothead comic from New Jersey wearing a Wayne Corbett jersey can sit in the President of the United States chair. And she goes, yes. I'm saying yes. So I'm sitting there like, what's up? So then we're just walking around, and this is how good – you know this. The Secret Service is spooky good where I was outside and didn't remember how I got there. We were all just moved outside.
Yeah.
And it felt like lightning was going to strike, and it did. Bill Clinton comes through, and I'm like, wow, he was coming downstairs. So we just got bum-rushed out. But we didn't even know it, four of us. He gets on Marine One, salutes the troops. I was like – makes me cry. Like, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
And by the way, Marine One helicopters, like, do that thing where they get smaller. Marine One goes up, goes about 80 feet, and just fucking disappears.
Just disappears, yeah.
That's a little spooky.
That's my favorite thing, by the way.
Marine One?
Going from White House to Camp David on Marine One. It was my favorite thing.
It's big, too.
It's real big.
Could you put a ping pong table in there?
Yeah, there was a ping pong table.
Oh, there is? How's your ping pong game?
You want to play?
I do, very much.
Okay.
I'm not joking.
I'm not either.
Because I know I'm not going to take you to the batting cages. You'll have a heart attack.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no.
Oh, what, Razorback College World Series all of a sudden, man?
Oh, okay, really? Is that where you're going
to really, man? That's where go Hogs. Come on, man. Let's go. Florida State. I got Gator time.
Go Hogs.
So we're out in the Rose Garden. It's taken off. It's gone. It got quiet. And this kid, this young Democrat, this tall kid, Chad, he's like 6'8". 180 pounds, and he goes, not cool sitting in the president's chair, okay? And I go, I actually asked Chelsea, and he pokes me in my chest. He goes, not cool. And as he's poking me, I'm watching Billy Hayes take a few steps, and I got to put the I go, Chad, how long have you worked here in the White House? He goes, 3 years. I go, you ever sat in the president's chair? And he goes, no. I go, I've been here 1 hour. And I go, come on, we're leaving. Like, it was my idea to leave. We're about to get tossed. But I just wanted to get the feel like 3 years, you never
said. And don't ever poke me in the chest again, Chad.
I was here 1 hour, and I got my ass in that chair. 3 years. You're not very good at your job, young Democrat Chad.
Demo Chad.
Have you ever, what's the name of your band?
Politics.
Of course.
How about
with
that?
With an X at the end, to be cool?
How about that? No, no,
thank you
no.
for not doing that.
No, no, I wouldn't do that.
And you
play
cock.
I'm the lead vocalist. And
oh,
it's
well?
For lack of better expression, it's an all black band, and I've always considered myself at least half black. It's just the top half.
You're the honorary white guy?
Yeah, yeah.
What hey, Petey would know this. What's like a great band with considered a black band with a white guy? Just think about that. We'll sort of
gosh, that's a good question.
Oh, we go into the weeds. I can't hear anything through there. God forbid they teach a talk back button.
Delbert McClinton, maybe? I don't know.
Delbert, a guy named Delbert's white?
Yeah.
It's like the blackest name in the band.
I know.
Delbert, get your ass in here. Simply Safe, my friends. I have it in my home. You should have it in your home. I love the remote control. It's really cool because I can light my house up like the 4th of July and just freak my neighbors out. $14.99 a month, 24/7 monitoring every single room. Blanket your home in professional protection. When I tell you, Roger Clinton, that I put this thing together in 54 minutes, because they said under an hour, I am a mole. I don't know how to print emails. Like, I'm a dummy. And everything was easy to go. And I got that remote. I can see where everything is at all times. I've had all the abbreviation names of companies that don't deserve to be in this ad. You call them. Some guy shows up with a gun he's not allowed to use. He asked me what my password is. I'm like, I don't fucking remember. But my alarm went off. Well, let me call the local police because you don't know it could be you. You don't know your password. The wife comes down and goes, it's Swordfish. Now who's she? Then like the sheriff's coming. No, Simply Safe. Your house will be so protected. Simply Safe, Simply, S-I-M-P-L-I, Simply, with an I, simplysafe.com/dad. And if you order today, you get an extra 10% off. I put my name on it, my friends. Now, what is the most fun you had, not family related, in the White House? Like, to the victor go the spoils, and there's a trickle down. So, you know, I don't think he's playing ping pong.
I think the most fun in the White House, or the most interesting thing in the White House that I just discovered on my own, was the
glory hole. That's where the glory comes in. You never know who's on the other side.
Well, you can pull a wall. You can pull a wall that looks just like a wall. And if you don't know it's not a wall, you wouldn't know it.
So, are we fucking high right now?
No. You pull it open, looks like a wall. And there's stairs that go down. Yeah. You know, there are hidden stairs all through the White House. And it's
where do they go? Different places?
They go different places.
You're not allowed to say. I'm not going to press it.
They go different places. And who knows? They might have more now. I don't know.
Well, I would get one goes to across the street.
One goes across the street.
One, nobody would ever dig a tunnel to go see the fucking vice president. So that none of them go to the vice president's house, right?
No.
What a shit job. What a fucking concession. I was in the race for a while.
Oh, my God.
Go us.
I mean, look how our vice presidents have shown up.
It should be a layup. You were there.
It should be a layup.
But who? Nobody.
Nobody.
Who's the last vice? Who is the last vice president to become?
I mean, it didn't have to take
Bush.
Over.
Oh, of course it was Bush.
Yeah, Bush.
And before that, it was like Spiro Agnew, but that was by accident.
But that was by accident. Yeah.
Two guys in the White House at the same time that weren't elected. Think about that. Like Gerald Ford goes in, right? After the resignation, was that after the resignation? Gerald Ford goes in, and then Spiro Agnew, like, you're the VP, and America's going, who's the Italian guy?
You know what was so cool?
Who wants a slice?
Speaking of Gerald Ford, I was in Vail, Colorado, performing at the Vail Amphitheater, and just said, what the hell? I think I'm going to give the Fords a call. And so I'm naturally thinking it's going to be an assistant or something. And Betty answers the phone. And she was so cool and so gracious. And I was almost just so awestruck because I wasn't expecting her. I was just going to leave either a voicemail or talk to an assistant or whatever. And she said, well, Roger, this is Betty Ford. And I thought that was like one of the coolest things. Of all the people I've performed with and performed in front of. And
would you bring them to a rock and roll show?
No, I didn't want to ask her to come to the
show. But we're talking
about
ex-presidents being the measure of the man.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about an ex-first woman.
Yeah.
First lady.
She was a class act.
She was I'm in recovery, and she got her act together and the Betty Ford Clinic.
She's a class act.
Who was a guest at the White House? How often were you at the White House?
I went there probably 100 times. I went there a lot.
Well, no, not really. No, take hold advantage. On. In 8 years? No, you didn't.
Oh, no. I went there. I can't tell you how many times I went there. I went there because I had my son who I wanted him to experience it as a little boy. And I was basically, for all intents and purposes, a single dad. And so I guarantee I went there at least, let's be safe, 60 to 70 times.
Oh, because you weren't, I think I just automatically assumed my brother's the president. Which bedroom's mine? Like, it's a summer rental.
I wanted to stay in the Lincoln room. I stayed in the Lincoln room just because it was so cool, and Mary Todd's supposed to be circling around, and, and it was a little eerie. But to lie down next to the Gettysburg Address, it's, when you lie down next to the Gettysburg Address, it was beautiful.
That's in the Lincoln bedroom?
Powerful, yes.
Why would they put it next to the bed?
Don't know. It's on a night it's on
reading?
One of those.
think about
night
it.
Night reading, really.
What book are you going to read?
In the Lincoln bedroom.
I got Crichton. I got Sphere. I got oh my God, it's the Gettysburg Address. Like, what are you going to read?
Yeah.
Instead of that.
And it was cool. That was cool.
I got Sam Walton's biography, man.
And my mother, God rest her soul, her favorite room was the Queen's room, and it was right across the hall from the Lincoln bedroom. And I think one of the neatest things I saw there was on the wall, it has like all four or five, I should know, but it's four or five verses to the Star Spangled Banner, which I never knew. I just,
there's those extra ones.
Yes, those extra ones.
There's always an intro that nobody knows. Like, if you go see a Broadway show, you're like, what fucking song is it? Luck be a lay. Oh. You know what I mean? There's always an intro.
Fly me to the moon.
There's an intro to that nobody knows.
Yeah.
So, and what was that on, like parchment paper? Was it handwritten?
Yes, it was on parchment paper.
Yeah.
Yes. In a frame on the wall.
written by Willie Dixon. Is that true, Pete? Written by Emmylou Harris, Star Spangled Banner.
Francis I love Emmylou, by the way. I love Emmylou.
Did you ever hear the Willie Nelson album, Teatro? Of course you did. No,
oh,
you
no.
didn't.
Maybe I didn't.
Emmylou Harris is on it vocally as an instrument. She just follows Willie through the entire album. I can't recommend it higher, more highly.
Oh, my God. I'm so going to get that. And then I want to mention one album as well for you.
I'll write it down. Publix.
The Eagles.
Politics.
The Eagles. No, no. It's
Lost
not
me
my,
already.
The Eagles. It's called Something Out of Eden. Straight Out of Eden or something like that. It's the last one that has Glenn Frey's last song. And it's so prophetic. And it's called It's Yours Now. The World Is Yours Now or something like that. But the album is called Straight Out. I believe it's called Straight Out of Eden.
Glenn Frey was in Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
He was acting.
Yeah.
And
I just watched it again this weekend to watch you. So
it's my first thing ever.
That was so cool.
I don't know what I was doing.
I mean, my son just did day before yesterday. He's 23.
And his name?
Tyler Clinton.
Hey, Tyler. Hi, Tyler. How are you, buddy?
Hey, son. I love you, buddy.
Howdy, boy.
He just
can't
did
hold
his
your
first,
water.
He just did his first. He signed with IMG. And he just did his first runway show day before yesterday in Milan at the men's fashion show. His very first one.
This is great.
With Dolce and Gabbana.
Your son's a fashion model.
It's unbelievable.
How come I don't know? The notes I got on you is he may want to talk about Mobile Nerd, which is your affordable educational program.
Listen, I could have talked all day about my son. I worship him. He's my everything.
Well, yeah, that's the measure of you.
Yeah.
That's you as an ex president of brother of a president. That's my grandfather always said to me. You can tell a lot about a man by his children. So the fact that your son's doing runway show, and by the way, it's a tough hustle because everybody thinks you're gay off the bat, and if you are, great. And then you got to go to Milan, and you're just judged only on it's a superficial life with a shelf life, very tiny. Like beards are in now. Can you grow a big beard? No, sorry, you're out. Now we're going with half Asian, half black guys. Now we're going with guys that look like hipsters.
Yeah.
But obviously he's a handsome Samson like his dad.
He's handsome. Thank you. He's handsome. He's good. He's a yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am type guy.
That's his grandma.
He's very, very smart.
That's his grandma.
And he's got a beautiful girlfriend. And, well, at least he did before he went to Italy. You know,
if he's got a girlfriend when he comes back, I need to have a talk to him. Then he's an idiot. The Dolce & Gabbana fashion model doing runways in Italy, and he's got some girl in like Natchitoches going, when you coming home? You know, these dishes ain't going to clean themselves. And there's some girl going like, do you like gnocchi? I like to make it with my big bush. You got to drive that lady home. True Car, my friends. Get the True Car experience that I have. There are so many cars that are flying off lots, off of sites. It's True Car. True Car is what I used. And I got a Range Rover. First car I ever bought in my life because I truly feel like if I was in any other car as I navigated Rabbit Ear Pass on my detour off of Route 70 to get to Denver, I touched Wyoming, came back down, and cars are sliding and snowstorms and... And that Range Rover, man, just – I didn't push any buttons. It's not an ad for Range Rover. It's for True Car because that's how I got it. Because you can see what your neighbors paid, what people paid for the car, and you lock in what you're willing to pay and what you want, and then eventually your phone vibrates. It's ready. It's not like,
wow,
we're never going to find that interior. They just let you know when they find it. Because if you go to a lot –
saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
First car I ever drove, I had a Mustang GT, like 93, and I went to this place in the valley, and I go, I want a convertible Mustang with chrome rims. And the guy goes, you want some brisket? I go, no, thank you. He's got a big breast. He's eating. He's got shit all over his face and hands. He goes, let me ask you a question. How often do you realistically think you're going to use a convertible in Southern California? And I'm like, I don't know, ballpark 10 months out of 12? And he goes,
June gloom. You ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah.
Chrome rims. You're going to have to clean those things once a week. It's going to be a pain in the ass. You're going to have a sore back. Let me show you what I have. I'm like, let me guess. A lot of roofs and no chrome rims. But I just got out of Skip Barber Racing School. My dad raced. My mom raced. So me and my sister decided to do it, too. And I took that fucking guy. This guy, he had to have vomited when I was done with him. Going up and down Chandler, Petey. I don't know if you know where the railroad tracks, and now there's a red line. But it was just a straight shot with railroad tracks. So you could turn. It was like a Formula One course. And I was just heel-toeing it. And I went up Laurel Canyon and took it like a slalom course. And I go, I don't want it.
One of my only regrets is that I didn't drive NASCAR. Because I love to drive aggressively. I drive aggressively.
Who says, well, who's your favorite driver? You're going to say.
Well, it was.
Let me write down who you're going to say.
Okay, okay.
It was somebody.
Yes.
And then it was somebody. And right now, you are all about somebody. Go ahead.
Well, it was Jeff Gordon.
Oh, what did I write right there?
But.
Oh, number three?
Yeah, number three.
That's not Jeff Gordon.
It was Dale Earnhardt.
I thought you were going to say the King, Earnhardt, and then you're with Junior.
I was
now.
Just talking about the ones that are still alive. Now,
right,
Dale Earnhardt Jr. is a great, great driver, but he never was my favorite driver. Jeff Gordon was my favorite. Jimmy Johnson. And now this guy, number 42, Kyle...
Busch?
No, he just, not Kyle.
Larson. He's leading, isn't he?
He just won day before yesterday.
Look, I'm Joey. I predicted
they're
Joey Logano wins this year.
To Jimmy Johnson.
Well, they're fucking crazy. Because he's won, what, seven? Jimmy? Jimmy's like maybe the greatest of all time.
Yeah, he's the greatest.
And I like Jeff Gordon a lot. First of all, they're nice guys.
I love Jeff Gordon. He's a class act.
Every NASCAR guy is super cool.
Yeah.
Well,
and I've never met any of them. I'll tell you who my favorite one of all time is, and I'm prejudiced because he's from Arkansas as well. And God rest his father's soul, he died in a plane crash. Oh. And he used to be one of my customers when I was a wholesale fuel manager in Arkansas.
What year
outside
was this?
Of Batesville. This was 1987.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Wait, your brother was the president of the United States.
And it was Mark Martin.
Mark Martin. He drove the Viagra car, the oldest guy in the circuit.
Yeah, he drove the Valvoline car and then the Viagra car.
He's like the oldest. He was the actual oldest driver, and they put him in the Viagra car.
He keeps
pulling up a little short.
Yeah.
And he likes, like, rap music. He's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
But Jeff Gordon, everybody hated because he was from, like, Indiana. Everybody hates Jimmy Johnson because he's from California and he's handsome. Joey Logano they hate because he's from Connecticut. I said after last year's banquet, I go, I'm going Logano. Last race.
He's badass.
He's top 10
now. He was almost there. He almost got there on Sunday.
He was, he was top.
He finished third and even.
But
he
went from 11 to 10.
Yeah, he even said, he goes, I didn't have the car to win. He said, I'm real happy with what we did.
You don't ever have to win a race to win the cup.
No.
Top 5, top 10, laps led, amount of laps. It's pretty kooky because your kid Larson. When you look at Logano's top 5 and top 10s, they fucking annihilate the other guy.
Yeah.
So it's – I don't really understand how the points were. I should. I've hosted the banquet 16 times. So I should probably dial in a little bit to that. So you wish you were a NASCAR driver.
I wish I would have attempted it, yeah.
You know what you look like? I figured it out.
Who?
Please focus on the word handsome. A very handsome Pete Rose.
Wow.
If Pete Rose didn't have that peppermint patty haircut.
And I just saw him on ESPN yesterday while they were celebrating.
Fuck him.
In Cincinnati.
I interviewed him and I told him to his face, you're not going to the fucking Hall of Fame, Pete. He signed your own lifetime ban. So unless I'm talking to a fucking ghost, I don't know why I keep talking about this.
Yeah.
You signed your own ban for
you
a
life. I think he knows it. I think he knows it. He even said... when they were interviewing me, he said, or when he was giving his speech, he said, you know something? I'm in the Cincinnati Red Hall of Fame. That's all that matters to me.
Yeah. Nice. Keep telling yourself that, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. Keep telling yourself that because that's exactly as far as you're going.
True car users like myself, this is a 9-minute read. It's good for the true car. But if you use true car, if you're in the market, my friend Roger Clinton, you are my friend now.
Yes,
we
sir.
Are friends. We've known each other a long time somehow.
you will save on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Save time, save money, never overpay. True Car, there's pre-owned cars too. So I bought my Range Rover because every other car was sliding off, and that Range Rover just like did like an Inspector Gadget, locked in. And then a fucking FedEx truck goes by me at like 70. He's like on meth. He's wearing like a Newport tank top. He's got a cigarette. Just I'm like, well, apparently that guy's safe and sound. All you need is a bunch of TVs in the back and you're okay. I can't say True Car will deliver that for you, but True Car, my friends, you have been making the rounds on these podcasts.
Yeah.
Why? You're promoting is it just because you're in town and people realized because I'm having a ball talking to you.
Like, I am too.
I can't wait for you to come back.
I am too. You know, I started thinking, Jay, that I have a lot to say. And I think that people that listen to your podcast and to other class podcasts, I think that they have a lot to hear. And that's communication. And I have decided, even though I've been an entertainer all my life, since I was 15, I've been on stage, and I'm 60 now.
You should be a little more famous than for the band. Your brother is president, for crying out loud. I mean, what kind of push do you need PR-wise?
Well, you know, unfortunately—
You played the Veil. What was it called?
The Veil Amphitheater.
That means amphitheater for the listeners means way larger than the theater.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the theater world.
And it was a cool thing. It was a cool thing.
All right. So what would the message be?
I want to go out, whether it's a week from now, whether it's 30 years from now, God willing. I want to go out with what my mother taught her two boys, and that is that this world goes round. It goes round with communication and education. And I'm still going to do my music. I'm still going to do my acting. I'm still going to do my animated voiceovers that I'm with DPN. I'm still going to do all that stuff. I'm still going to write speeches for people. I'm not going to leave the entertainment world. But I've got to do something with communication and education. And that's what I'm doing. And one thing I would like to communicate to you right now that I would be remiss not to mention this. And I know this is random. This is going off the topic.
Because I've been real linear here. Like, okay. It's called kind of a random spot.
I want to send a shout out to the parents of Ollie Warmbier that passed. God bless them. God rest his soul, and God bless them. I went to North Korea and performed. I was the first one in like 70 some odd years from the Western Hemisphere that had the opportunity to go. And when I took my band, Politics, we were on the Beijing tarmac, holding hands, crying, saying a prayer together because a North Korean plane, a charter plane, was being sent to pick us up. And we had to go like a half mile out on the Beijing tarmac to get to the plane.
Well, you're easier targets.
Yeah.
For the
so
guy
when we went over, when we went into North Korean airspace, when we flew into North Korean airspace.
It's counterintelligence. When I said that, I look up, Pete's just nodding. I said, because you're better targets. And Pete, look at me, Roger. Pete goes like this. He's looking at his phone. He goes.
And it was just crazy. When they announced that
you beat Hasselhoff.
When we
to Germany, were there. You were in North Korea before he was in Germany. Just go with it.
Okay.
Who books that fucking gig, Roger Clinton? It's Barry Katz. Are you sitting down? You want to play Korea, man?
Hyundai offered it to me, and I tried to go for 3 years just for the historic aspect. But I had a five-year-old son, and I didn't know if I was coming back. And
so then why? Let me ask you this. I'm with you. I would love to go.
It bought my first home.
I get it.
Yeah.
Like Steve Gorman told me.
I did
Black
nine
Crows.
Songs for $300,000.
Oh, my God. That's
huge for me.
Steve Gorman told me that Black Crows played St. Petersburg, and it was like a Putin, but like Martha Stewart combo party, and they went out at night to drink. Black Crows are all 6'6". All of them are 6'6", except for, I guess, Rich is 6 foot. And they can all throw. They can throw some bows. And said they were outside about 4 minutes, and they all just went, we got to get back inside, man.
Some big boys there.
It's scary. So, but why did you want to go so bad?
I performed in Kazakhstan four different times.
Everybody plays there. Come on.
They got big boys there.
But
they
why did you want to go to North Korea
because
if you may
historic.
Not come home?
Well, you know, I don't know.
Fucking Red Rocks is historic. Hollywood Bowl is historic.
Yeah.
You could open for Yanni, they'd say it was historic.
You know, this wasn't Kim Jong-un. This was Kim Jong-il.
Oh.
You know, his father.
Right.
So I guess it was his father. Kim Il-sung. Kim Il-sung was the great leader and was the last president that they were ever going to have. And then I went with Kim Jong-il, who was the general, the great general. Then when he passed, I don't know if this was his cousin or his son or whoever the nutcase
is. The white guy in the black band.
Yeah, yeah.
Did we get an answer on that, Petey? A great black man with one white guy? It's Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un now.
And they think the dad, you know, is holy, a holy man like the grandfather. Like
yes.
Haile Selassie in Ethiopia, he is a holy man. He got the Italians out of Africa. It's kind of a miracle.
Yeah.
Rastafari. So you go there, but you want to go for the – look, you're an egomaniac like me. Not now. There's a part of the ego that wants to be stroked. How are people going to recognize my band? Oh, they played North Korea. Well, let me listen. Are they any good? And
yeah.
Then you got them because you could have played anywhere.
Yeah, could have played anywhere. They offered me a lot of money, and plus I thought it was historic.
I was
just hoping, beyond hope, that I would come back safe for my son.
Did you see like the starvation that they said?
Oh, yeah.
Because when you know this already, when Nixon went to China, the people on the street were actors playing people on the street because they didn't want to run the risk of anybody going, hey, let me get in the motorcade. So like a guy walking his dog was an actor as a guy walking a dog. A traffic cop was they were all actors the whole route. So I'm wondering, North Korea, did they go through that or they didn't just give it? They're like,
first off, North Korea is known around the world for a few things. One being the tunnel masters, which helped them in the Korean War because it's so mountainous. Two, they worship Kim Il-sung still. He still lays in state, and they go every day on their lunch break. They're bussed in. They come by the thousands and thousands to go by this. He's laying in a gaseous state in the same suit that he was buried in.
What's that mean, gaseous state? Because I don't want to make a joke about it.
A ga-
But I would do it about one of ours. I had JFK in a glory hole earlier. I appreciate the mustache. I guess that's why this end is called glory.
You are great at your impersonations, your impressions.
I haven't even done any of the ones I'm known for. But Roger Clinton got Tracy Morgan pregnant, Pete. That is a correct fact. Bill Clinton played saxophone with his feet.
And I love Tracy Morgan. I'm a huge fan of Tracy.
Yeah. I remember Roger Clinton and Daniel Cormier trained for the UFC fight. They got sidetracked and incorporated at the Booger Sugar.
Man, we stayed at the compound.
What does gaseous state mean?
It's got a gas in there that preserves his body inside this glass case.
That's spooky.
Yeah, it's real spooky.
But I guess you want it spooky if you're going to lay in state for eternity. You don't want
people come by every day, all day. They're bussed in. And these, it's like a little ant colony. And when we were playing at this,
Let's not get racist.
They're also known for their marble and granite. But they can't. You know, they can't mine it because of all the sanctions. You see all these huge pieces of equipment that are just stagnant. They're just idle. They're not doing anything. But all the government has it. And they have all of these buildings, all the government buildings are all of granite and marble. And we stayed at the government compound, at Kim Jong-il's compound, which is surrounded by barbed wire, surrounded by a moat. We stayed there for 9 days, and they have all these soldiers with AK-47s and all of this artillery and everything surrounding. So it was really frightening. We couldn't go anywhere unless they took us somewhere, unless they decided to take us somewhere. And at night, all the lights go out, and there are thousands and thousands of people that are getting off work that walk in the dark. They walk in the dark.
Pete, come on in here, because Pete works in counterintelligence. I want to know if he has any specific questions from your visit. Pete's I called him a Navy SEAL. He's a spy. I called him a Navy SEAL on the podcast, and he goes, you got to take that out. I go, you've been on 1,000 missions. He goes, but I'm not a fucking SEAL. Take it out. Pete, you got any North Korea questions? Otherwise, I called you in here for no reason. Why do they turn the lights out at
night?
Yeah,
I was telling Jay they.
Oh, he's if you didn't hear it, we got big problems because he's recording.
What's the question?
I just want to know why they turn the lights out in North Korea at night. Just so everybody can sleep?
Yeah, everybody needs nighttime. No, the things you can see, you can shoot. And so they're on.
Wow.
You're on a security alert. So just
get
like,
out. No, just get out. You're perfect. See?
Wow.
I told you he's going to say one fucking
sentence. You know
something?
What?
Just go. You're the best.
Listen, I fucking never knew that. I never thought of that.
Like, he's a genius, this guy. And
what
then, when I ask him questions about like Comey and the FBI, and he's like, well, I don't know, because I'm like, bullshit, you don't know. You can come in and drop things you can see, you can shoot, lights out. Wow. But this is what I've noticed in this storytelling of your experience in your band. Is there a website for politics? Because I want on.
No, there's not. We took it off because I sort of went through a little depression period for a while.
You know why?
And I've left my band. I left my band, but they're wanting to reunite. Because it feels so good.
Because you're a human being.
Sorry, man.
Reunited.
Thank you, man.
Because I said, do you know why you were depressed? And I thought that's what you were answering.
Yeah.
You were depressed because you're a human being. The band you left because you had to figure out who you were. Because I don't know if they told you this. I'm an intuitive, and I can give you a reading. Yes or no answers only. I don't get into your childhood. If I ever say the word trauma, it means trauma only. I don't dig. I don't talk to dead people. I don't give you any bad news because I don't let any in.
You want me to cry. Is that it? Is that what you're saying?
You'll cry.
Okay, go ahead.
Before I start, can you accept the fact? Or is your name Roger?
Yes.
Was this a table?
Yes.
With that level of just fact absurdity of certainty, can you accept the fact that your primary emotion from the time you were born had cognitive thought is love and compassion? You are an absolutely beautiful, beautiful, loving human. You don't do anything out of malice or spite. You always try to make things right. And if you do believe in a God, can you accept the fact that he or she is incredibly happy with you? Can you accept that as a fact? Okay.
Yes.
Good. You'd be amazed how many people negotiate away from the good. They'll go like, well, but I'm saying it as a fact. Get the guy tissues already, for crying out loud. You want my shirt? I got an undershirt on.
Oh, I already got some doggone...
Will you wipe your tears away with my cock? Because I've never tried that. They got to be warm, right?
I've never even thought of that.
I'm going to Pornhub in my car on my phone.
Oh, my God.
Tearsandcocks.com. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to that was Seals and Crofts coming up next. Tony Orlando and Dawn, followed by Tears and Cocks. Reunited. Politics will be playing Haiti. We're going to make history, but nobody knows about it tour. They sure would great when Papa Doc was down there. They did a 3-beach run. And don't forget the bar crawl, everybody, with David Hasselhoff and his band, Who Gives a Fuck. So,
come on, man.
I'm just trying to break the so now we're back. So
thank you. Okay, we're back.
It's time travel. So you'd be amazed, Roger Clinton, how many people I can't help because they just negotiate from the good. And you were overwhelmed with, yes. What I was going to say was in that Korea story, when you were explaining that they can't mine because of the sanctions and stuff, you have a genuine compassion for the people of Korea, and it wasn't right. It wasn't fair to a man that mines marble and granite. It bothered you, and when you were telling me, you were sad about that. You might be one of the most compassionate people I've ever met.
Thanks, Jay.
You grew up with a mom and a dad.
And a brother.
Bill.
Never had a dad.
Was your father.
Oh, yeah. Bill was my father.
He protected you.
Yeah.
What dads do, he did.
He did.
There's nothing, maybe he didn't teach you to drive a stick shift or something, but there's nothing he left on the table that a blood father would have. And I, by the way, Alan, Pete, Roger, I know nothing about you. When I came in, can we all agree on this? Like, this isn't like I read up. There's no file to read about this, okay?
I love my brother.
I know you do. And I know you love your mother. And you are aware of. This is what I usually do. So, when people accept that good about themselves, they let a little bit of a wall down And there's a couple sentences I can say that sort of you are like a flower unfolding in speed lapse or time lapse photography, right? Like I could tell you, you're undervalued. You know you're undervalued. You're underappreciated. You're misunderstood. Everything is as easy as you think it is. It is. And those sentences, like everybody is the same. They all want to hear that. But because it's true and a universal truth, I can look you in the eye and say it. And then people just sort of open up. You have no tells. Your hands are folded. I'm not leaving looking you in the eye. I'm just doing energy stuff here. So you did have a mother and a father, but it's so complex because this is all leading to you being beautiful, and I love you.
Thanks, Jay.
That's where this is landing, okay?
Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome, and I do. I love you, and you know it. You know
I
it.
I do know
because
it.
We're present here now. We're still. There's nothing else. The complexity of a child to have a mother that does everything and an older brother you want to go fishing with and go play football and chase a skirt. Now, he's the dad. You are the only person on earth that realizes the impossibility of what he pulled off. And that is, go long, down and out, tackle, let's go get some chicks, smoke cigarettes, have a Coca-Cola. All right. Hey, man, you have to do your homework. Otherwise, like, who the you were just fucking telling me to moon the neighbors a minute ago. Now you're my dad. And he was in an impossible spot. And he did it.
Yeah.
It's in, like, nobody.
You know, I was all-time center.
Oh, with that ass.
When we played, we had two pine trees in
our
small
backyard. I just love Rogers balls.
And he let me play center. He let
but
me
why pantsless?
That was my choice.
I just enjoy his sack.
I feel his pain.
So you're aware, maybe the only person, maybe Hillary knows it, that knows that your brother, fuck the White House, fuck politics, as a human being, how many years older than you is he?
10.
Was there a twin in your family? Did you guys have twins? Nobody ever? No,
just
down the line?
Two of us, no.
Okay.
I think he's got an alien baby or something in Northwest Arkansas somewhere.
Yes. Yes. Cat Williams.
But I've never. Oh, my God.
Nobody could possibly know the acrobatics that your brother pulled as a child. He was a parent far too soon to you. You know you'll never be able to repay that. It hurts your heart. I'm telling you.
I know. You're so right. I don't understand how you're so right.
I don't
right
say
now.
It if I'm wrong. I'm not. This isn't
I don't
a
know
guessing.
How you've got it.
Because it's like reading Braille. It's you. It's you. And what I'm telling you is you can't repay him that. And that's the beauty of it.
See, I got to get to that point.
That's what I'm here
I got to get to that point to where I realize it's the beauty rather than the penalty.
Right.
You know?
And every time you fucked up or got arrested or there was booze or coke and you got in a fist fight, it was all, well, then I'll go in the other direction. I'll get some attention this way because I'm not getting attention trying to make it up to him. He doesn't know. This is with, I've never met your brother. He has no idea that you feel there's anything to make up. That's what his mind, that's what you do. Like your mom taught you, the world goes in a circle through communication and education. That's how it goes. These are the tenets he lived by. It's never dawned. Ask him. It's never dawned on your brother that you got catching up to do. Okay? Drop the rock and accept the beauty of what is.
Yeah.
This beautiful man raised you and was your brother, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's no twin. I know there wasn't a dad, but there was with Bill, and that's weird for you as a kid. You, more than anybody in your neighborhood, knew what was fair, and you knew when somebody was getting fucked, and it bothered you to the point where it was a detriment to you. Yes or no only?
Yes.
Okay. You have to allow that to apply to you. How you be treated through the media, how you get paraded around, you're pardoned for a conspiracy. A conspiracy isn't something you pardon somebody for. There has to be an actual thing. The way people feel about you. They always go, what people say about you behind your back is none of your business. Fuck that. It is. If you're talking about me, it's only my Nirvana. I don't care what you think unless it is about me. That's the only time I care what you're saying. If you're fucking talking about me, photo albums, you only care about the pages you're on. So the fairness you identified as a kid, my mom's life is not fair. when your brother's giving a speech about your mom, wow, she's finally, and then it pushes him into the presidency because it was right and it resonated. You always knew fair. You have to identify and allow yourself to be treated with the fairness you allow everybody else. You have to be fair. Let yourself off the fucking hook, okay? You with me? All right. You're nodding, yeah. Yes.
Yes, I am.
One yes or no question. I usually do six. We're not going to get that far. I want you to complete this sentence. I feel you're overall the thing, the crying baby in the room. I feel one word only is an emotion because I feel... Because one word emotion only, and I'm going to tell you in advance, nobody ever gets this right. Okay? Can you do that?
I feel grateful
because... No. A thing that's bothering you.
Oh, something that I'm bothered by?
I feel angry because...
Okay, I got you.
I don't believe my wife showed up, and now, you know, that's it. Like, that's mine. But then I was going through my step work and I realized, no, I'm sad because I'm not married to this person for the rest of my life because there was a time where they were showing up, right?
I got you. I'm still, and Walter can attest to this, I still feel.
Wall just went up.
Oh.
I want to know that rock in your shoe, the crying baby that you're avoiding instead of holding. A one-word emotion. We'll tighten this up, and you're going to take this out, Pete. We'll tighten this up, and a lot of this crying will go away. Hold on one second. I want you to know this is going to be tightened up. So if you lose your shit, it's gone. Okay?
Okay.
Like me saying this right now will not be in the podcast.
I got this because I've already had some bad feedback, some negative feedback from me losing it a little bit. And I didn't lose it big. I just sort of teared up when I was talking about my son, but I always do that because I'm so proud.
Negative feedback where?
So that was the last podcast I did.
Which podcast?
With Heather.
Heather's great.
She's wonderful. No, I had a great...
She was disarmingly hot.
Are you kidding me?
She came in here, I'm like, oh.
Are you kidding me? I had such a great time with her.
You had negative feedback about a podcast. Hold on. Because you were crying because you're talking about your son. Yeah. Where did you receive this feedback?
I had some people tell me that it came across on feedback on Facebook. Facebook. No, not to my face.
Social media.
Facebook, Instagram.
And did people tell you to your face that they saw it?
I had a couple people tell me they saw it and I didn't want
to
see it.
Why would those people share that with
you? I didn't want to see it.
Why would they share with you?
Because they thought that they were doing me a favor.
Did they?
No, I guess I could have gone without knowing it.
Why would you think that was beneficial to me to tell me?
I don't know.
No, I mean, That's the new... There's a line...
Oh, you mean...
You are so easy for me to put on track.
Yeah, I see
for a way
saying.
Of thinking.
Yeah.
Because you've done so much work already. You've done Fearless Moral Inventories. You've done as much as you could. All right.
I feel like I'm playing catch up.
You're not.
With my life.
You're not.
You know? Look I feel us. Like I've been an entertainer for so long, and I don't feel like I've made a difference.
When are you Roger? Fuck the guitar. Fuck the singing.
Don't know.
Right now. Don't know. It's happening now. And we're talking about playing catch-up, which puts you not here with me now.
I still remember when somebody asked me, who is Roger Clinton? And I would I said, well, I'm Bill's brother. I'm the leader of the free world's brother. I'm Hillary's brother-in-law. I'm Tyler's dad. I'm blah, 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 blah. And they said, no. Those are the roles you play. That's not who you are. Who are you? And, you know, I couldn't answer that question, Jay.
I wouldn't be able to, but one of those is correct. You're Tyler's dad. You bet your fucking ass that's who you are.
That's the greatest thing
your
in my life.
Your son's in Milan wearing leather pants with his fucking 12-pack, that young, thin asshole, crushing ass all through Italy. But that's your child, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You were the father, through all your fuck-ups, that got that kid there.
And you learned
how to be a father from your brother, who was also being a brother, so you're a statistical impossibility of success. You with me?
And I'm just now, just recently in the past, say, 6 months, I formed a team around me with my attorney, with an agent, with a manager, with a couple of other really brilliant people. And because I had to get disciplined, I had to get structured, I had to get organized. And because I want to make a difference. I want to go out, however long that is, I want to make a difference. You know?
And I need to be on your team, and I'll do it for free, and I'm going to tell you this right now. You make a difference when you tip the breakfast waitress 20% and say, you were terrific.
And I do that.
And you're making
but
a difference.
See, I don't
I'm
do
happy.
Enough stuff for me.
That's what I went back into AA March 14th. I didn't pick up, but I was a sick fuck because I was enabling somebody that was making me insane.
See, and I think I might be a functioning one. You know?
There's no such thing.
Well, that's what they're teaching me. They're saying that because I pay my bills, and when I go to AA and when I go to classes and right. I go to ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics, right. I go to anger management.
Right.
And they tell me that I might be a functioning .. because I pay my bills. I have vehicles.
I can help you
I have
more
a beautiful
than
house.
20 of these people I can help you more in 1% of the time.
Well, then tell me.
You're not a statistic. You're you. So whatever data they have leading up to you walking into the room when they tell you you're this, you're that, you're functioning, you're this, you're this, you're the only person. You know with AA, I am an alcoholic because I fucking say so. And up until the day I said it, I wasn't. Sorry. That's that. But you want to make a difference. We're friends. What did you do to win me over?
I don't know.
Nothing. You were you. We spoke. Did you give me a card? Did you give me a gift? Like, we're friends. It's been an hour, right? Like, I love you. We're going to exchange numbers. You'll never not be in my life. I see you.
Thanks, man.
Because you didn't play catch up with me. We just goofed off.
Yeah.
That's value. That's making a difference. I'm driving out of here, and I got a funny feeling in my heart, man. That bluebird's flapping because I met you.
Me too, man. Just for
what
you're saying.
That's a difference. Like, what are you going to fucking change education in Compton and, you know, in West Texas? No, you're not, Roger. But when you meet people, they're all happy to see you. Did you have a good time with Heather?
I had a great time with her.
You made a difference in her life. I think you got to redefine the word difference and realize, think globally, act locally, and worry about the difference. When she's happy, you should feel equally happy. When I'm going, fuck, I love this guy. Like, I've known him my whole life. I love him. That should make a difference in you.
It does.
Instead of, I want to, and this, when I talk
You're
to all
right.
these other people. No, man.
You're right. Oh, God, man. I've never had it put like that. So thank you.
Yes or no only, okay?
Yes. Okay.
But I'm pretty sure. Oh, I feel what because what?
On a negative side?
That's what we're doing. Because we've accepted, we let in that beautiful positive.
Well, I guess I still feel.
There's no guess.
Okay. I feel disappointed that I haven't realized that I've been making a difference.
I just saw you do work from what I just said. In a split second, I saw you change a fucking paragraph. Did you catch it?
Yeah.
Because I have made a difference. As I was, like, you just switched your own narrative to something healthy. As the way I thought I was supposed to be making a difference, whatever you just switched, your whole body changed. You're making a difference on you.
Oh, I can't tell you how much I've learned from you.
I feel disappointed. Because
I feel disappointed because I haven't felt like
beautiful.
That I've been making a difference when actually I have been.
I told you nobody gets a sentence right. That's serving others, and you have served others.
That's all I've done, and I can't snap out
and
of
that's,
it, Jay.
No, you don't have to because you don't want to. You want to be altruistic. You want to be compassionate, and you want to be a great empath. But you can't keep being at the end of the line watching everybody you served getting the meal first, and you're going, where's
that's
all
been
who's,
my major,
who's this?
That's been a major problem. That's been probably.
You remind me of Chris Farley.
It's probably been the major problem in my life.
You want to make everybody else happy.
Yeah.
And you know what? Yeah. 50% of the time, you didn't. As hard as you tried, you fucking bugged the shit out of people.
Oh, yeah. I got so many people mad at me. You know, I've had so many people
mad
at me.
You've never tried to hurt anybody.
Trying to help them, you know?
Yes.
And then I forget about me. I just forget about me because
you never
I've
went out of your
thought,
way to fuck somebody up, to hurt them. I mean, I'm not talking about like you're in a fucking coke-fueled rage and you go to a bar
right,
like, where
right.
is he? Where's Johnny Friendly? All right. So disappointed because, you know, you have not felt like you've been making a difference. That's them. Is it safe to say I feel sad When I'm alone, I feel fucking sad.
Yes.
Because nobody understands me. Is that a more accurate?
I already know the answer. No, that's exactly right.
Yeah, so I told
you. Exactly right. I know thousands and thousands of people, as you do. And it's sometimes so lonely.
So we have a new sentence. Well, I'm lonely. There's a bluebird in my heart. Bukowski, it's the greatest poem. You'll love it. So we got a new sentence. This is Roger. I feel sad because I don't think anybody understands me. Yes or no?
Yes.
Is there any room for improvement in there?
I hope so.
No. In that statement.
No, that's exactly accurate.
All right. So you're right. They don't.
And I don't understand.
I'm going to tell
why
you why.
Why they don't understand me.
Because you're never you. You're always tap dancing to help them. They never see you. When you go to the Philharmonic, you see the guy in the fucking tuxedo playing the violin. That's not the guy watering his lawn and his wife beater in his flip-flops. You. I've seen you today from before you were born. I see you. I've been to the future. You're fine. I see you. You're beautiful. You're a good dude. You're just a fucking good guy. But nobody can ever understand that if you're putting on the show for them. You do have to take care of yourself. And I'm going to help you.
Okay.
You're not some fucking charity case. You're a friend. But I see behind the eyes what a lot of people don't see. And that's why we're both crying. Okay?
Okay.
So what the fuck does he make an hour? How do I get...
He doesn't make near enough. That's for sure.
What? I'm doing this for free. You stuttering prick.
He doesn't make near enough.
My man, Roger Clinton, get the band back together because it makes you happy.
That's where I'm home on stage.
Play bars and bullshit holes and we should be here. You want to play music? You play it in a fucking backyard. You can come play in my backyard. Like fact, right? If I want to do comedy, I go do comedy. What'd you get paid? Oh, no, I just went up and I did an hour because I wanted to. The band brings you joy.
Yeah.
Your son brings you joy.
Yeah.
I know you're going to talk to him or text him tonight.
Absolutely. As soon as I get home.
Handwritten letter.
I still do that. I'm old school. Beautiful. I'm old school. I've got a legal pad.
When he opens that and he reads the letter and you tell him how much he loves you, something you never received from a father. You got it from a brother. How does that make him feel?
Makes him feel good, and
you made a difference.
Yeah, and every one of his birthdays or every holiday, I ask him to write me something, not type me, not email me, not anything.
And he may not sometimes.
And usually he does. There have been a couple times he hadn't, but that means the most to me.
When you put a penny in a wishing well, how long do you stand there waiting for it to come back? That's love. Give it out and fucking walk away.
Yeah.
You're great, buddy. I got you.
Thanks.
I got you. Roger Clinton, ladies and gentlemen. Jay. I'm going to say this. This is one of the best episodes ever because I made a real, real friend. Get the Podcast One app. I have it on my phone. I'll show it to you right now. It's really like a really good app. Adam Carolla Show on there. Beyond the Darkness. Spooky stuff on there. Of course, you can get the More Stories app if you want to get my app, but I'm a company man. You can get Heather Dubrow. The Startcast, my favorite on here lately, is the Art of Charm podcast, which I'm recording tomorrow. Stone Cold Steve Austin, Jericho, Reasonable Doubt with Garagos and Adam Carolla, those two fucking kooky lefties, and Cold Case Files. It's just a fantastic app. Maybe for some reason you want to listen to Brandy Glanville talk to somebody. Maybe that's your bag. I don't know. Some people voted for Anderson in 1980. What are you going to know? Beyond the Darkness. Dr. Drew, Art of Charm, like I said. Norman Lear, Bret Easton Ellis. Look at all these podcasts on here.
So many.
And I want you guys to enjoy it on your phone. It's fucking free. It's the Podcast One app. This is the More Stories podcast. Do me a favor. Go out there today, everybody. And in the smallest way you can imagine, make a difference. When you shake somebody's hand, look them in the eye and smile. Bring that smile with you. See, you got to take the smile with you. When somebody says, you look nice, don't go, say, thanks, man. Because that person thinks you look nice. That's making a difference. As small as you can imagine, as Kelly Lowry would say, make waves, man. Make waves.
I try to do that every day. I try to tell somebody, I'll even stop someone and say, I just have to tell you, you look really nice today. Whether it's a guy or a girl, say, you really look nice. I like what you're wearing. I love the look in your eye. You know?
Yeah, it's
just
a sentence too long. It gets creepy.
Just tell them how to.
But with me, I said, you're like a handsome, focus on the word handsome, Pete Rose. You did to me what I guess you don't do with other people, and you just went, thank you. But out on the street, you go, well, I my hat doesn't match my shirt. It's two different teams. You know, you're I got to right. get to the gym.
Yeah.
Let the good end, buddy.
Okay, buddy.
You're putting a lot out. Take some back.
Okay.
Empty that wish and well. Roger Clinton, and the website is jmoore.com. That's his website. And make sure you listen to More Sports Daily. And thank you, everybody, for being a part of this. And your emails affect me. And you guys make a difference when you email me. And I know the ones that are coming right now. And I'm going to share them with you. I'm going to let you make you let some good in from the Moriers, the most beautiful tribe out there.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, buddy.
It's my pleasure to be here.
My man, Roger Clinton. Let's all love. Put your name on it.
Okay, I want to know how to...
Big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.